Blog Talk Radio.
What's wrong?
Nothing. I'm fine.
No, really, you can tell me.
You wouldn't understand.
You might be right, but together, maybe we can find the answer.
Miss Clark, I have a Bible.
Trust me.
There's no reason to shout, but the impossible is God's chance to work a miracle, a miracle. So just know it ain't over until God says it's done. No, 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 it ain't over until God says it's over. Keep fighting until your victory is won.
Just know.
Hallelujah. Well, welcome to Woman with Pastor Rebecca. It ain't over until God says it is over. You have to remember that it's not over until God says it's over. Amen. You got to keep fighting. You got to keep trying. You have to keep improving upon yourself. Keep learning. Keep praying. Keep praising God. Keep believing. Keep moving forward. Don't give up. Don't quit. It's not over until God says it's over. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm encouraged by that song. I pray that you are also encouraged by that song. And once again, this is Pastor Rebecca Simmons. I welcome you back to Woman with Pastor Rebecca. It's an honor and a privilege to be on the air and to have you listening to me as I go forward with part three of man problems. We're talking about man problems, and this is part three. We are dealing with relationship issues. And if you missed the last couple of weeks, I want you to go back and listen to the archives. You can go over to blogtalkradio.com/power, and you will see man problems, part one, and then you'll see part two, and then you will see part three. Listen to the whole series, all three parts, so that you can identify some of the things that may be going wrong in your relationship and how you can begin to fix those things that are not quite right. Amen. So it's all about making a difference for the positive, making a difference for the betterment of your relationship. And that's why I am here, to make a positive difference in whatever it is that you want your outcome to be, and whatever you're dealing with, whatever you might be wrestling with. So today we're going to talk about man problems, part three. We're still dealing with relationship issues, but today I want to talk about making it work, making your relationship work. Amen. And this one will apply more so to those who are in relationship, and to the married woman, and also for those who have had failed relationships, but you're believing for that person to come along where you're going to be able to have a good relationship. Amen. So if you're not in a relationship, don't turn this off, because this is going to help you for the next time that you are in a relationship. So you want to get your pen and paper, begin to take notes. And even if you don't take notes, you'll be able to go back and listen to the archives. So I want to talk today about making it work, making what work, making your relationship work, making your marriage work. And while I'm at it, I'll tell you about the book. My husband and I wrote a book, Making Marriage and Relationships Work. And the book is powerful. It talks to marriage. It talks to relationships. It talks to men, to women, single, saved, unsaved, searching, seeking, amen. This book is going to change the way that you do relationships. And you can pick up a copy of the book at Amazon.com, or you can go to my website at nccmonline.org, nccmonline.org. Go over to the books, radio, and videos page, and you will see all of my books. I've written 6 books, and Making Marriage and Relationships Work is the last book that I wrote. I wrote that in collaboration with my husband, my wonderful, wonderful husband, Pastor Anthony Simmons. Oh, boy, he's back there talking about all right. My wonderful, wonderful husband, Pastor Anthony Simmons. And that all right, nothing is an inside joke, because we had a little disagreement today. And he says to me, oh, I guess I'm back because I'm getting on your nerves again. And I just looked at him like totally frustrated and flustered, because getting on my nerves is one of his favorite things to do. And he said he guesses that he's back because he had two major surgeries last month. He had two major surgeries last month, and God brought him through. But it was touch and go for a minute, and he wasn't himself for a couple of weeks. For about 3 weeks, he was a different person. And there are parts of that person that I would have liked to keep. But my husband is back, and I thank God for it. I love my husband, and he loves me, so that's all that matters. So today I want to talk to you about making it work. And, again, get that book, Making Marriage and Relationships Work. So making it work. And later on we'll open up the phone lines also so that you can talk to me, making it work. The first thing, there are 1, 2, 3, 4 parts of this. Okay, so making it work, the first thing that you're going to have to do in order to make your relationship work is be effective in your communication. So the first area is communication. Communication. Talk about it effectively, calmly, practically, and honestly. So that communication is key. If you're ever going to be in a good relationship, you're going to have to know how to communicate. You're going to have to know how to say the words that you need to say in order for you to get your man or your husband to understand what you're saying. You want to make sure that you're communicating, that you are talking, and that you're not shutting down or shutting him out. You know, you want to make sure that you're communicating and that you're not just shutting up and allowing things to happen that you're not pleased with. Communication is the number one priority thing that you're going to have to do to make sure that your relationship is working. Amen. So how do you have to talk about it? You have to talk about it. Talk about it. What's it? It is everything. It is. You want to talk about those things that please you. You want to talk about the things that don't please you. You want to talk about your likes, your dislikes, your interests, your... Amen. Amen. Praise God. Looks like we had a little interruption. But you want to talk about everything, your likes, your dislikes, what pleases you, what doesn't please you, your interests, your hobbies, your faith, God, children, your dreams, what you're looking to do in the future, your desires, your deepest desires, your deepest fears. You want to talk about everything with that person. You know, one big problem in relationships is that two people get together, they get in a relationship, they move in or they get married, and they realize that they really don't know each other. There are some secrets, there are some fears that have not been shared. And if you really want to be effective in your relationship, you need to be effective in your communication. So you want to talk about it, and you want to talk about it in 4 ways. You want to talk about it effectively. Effectively. In other words, say what you mean and mean what you say. Don't manipulate your boyfriend. Don't manipulate your husband or that person that you're in a relationship with. Don't expect him to guess what's on your mind. Don't expect him to figure out what you're really trying to say. If things are all right, if things are good, then say things are good. If things are not good, then say it's not good. Don't say that's fine with me when it's not fine with you. See, a habit that we have as women is saying, okay, fine, but it's really not fine. We're really saying, okay, I'll get you back for that. You know, you hurt me there. You disappointed me there. I'm getting ready to get you back. And how do we get him back? We hold the grudge. We shut down. We go into a mood. We get quiet. We refuse to be intimate with our husbands. So these are ways that we get back at him for our ineffectiveness in our communication. We need to be effective in our communication. Another way that you are effective is by being kind. The Bible talks about being slow to speak, quick to listen, and slow to become angry. Amen. So we have to make sure that we are listening, women, as well as talking, or listening more than we are talking. We need to make sure that we are hearing him out. See, a lot of the times we won't listen to what our man has to say because we're so busy telling him what we don't like about him. And then the minute he begins to tell us what our faults are or what he doesn't like about us or what areas we're falling short in, then we shut our ears and we begin to talk louder or we begin to over-talk him. And we don't want to hear what he has to say. And that is a dangerous ground because if you don't know what that man is thinking, if you don't know where you're falling short with him, then that's a slippery slope because he now will begin to shut down or he will go and find somebody that he can talk to that won't over-talk him, that hangs on to his every word. Amen. There's always somebody who's going to listen to the man that you won't listen to. Amen. So you want to make sure that you are paying attention and that you are attentively listening to your man. Amen. Whether he is your husband or your boo, you know, your bae. Amen. You want to make sure that you are listening. Amen. So that's one way of communicating effectively. The second way is calmly. Calmly. Don't be so quick to go off. Don't be trigger happy in the area of your emotions. Make sure that you are staying calm. You know, one problem that I used to have is that I just used to just go from 1 to 100 in 10 seconds. And it was crazy. You know, 1 minute we'd be talking about something. The next minute I'd be flying off the handle and screaming and going off. And the smoke would be coming, out of both of my ears. And that's not good. It's not cool. It's not pretty. You know, it's just not good. It's not conducive for you having a good relationship. You have to make sure that you are not getting over emotional in your communication. So you want to communicate calmly. Listen to what he's saying. Respond instead of reacting to what he's saying. Don't read anything unnecessary into what he's saying. Don't read what he's not saying into what he's saying. You know, believe, take his words at face value. And if you don't understand what he's saying, ask him to explain. Ask him to elaborate on what he's saying. Ask him for clarification. Amen. So you want to be calm. Don't get mad and start throwing things. Don't kick him out of the house. I used to tell my husband, get out, and don't you ever come back, ever. And this man would look at me like I had 10 heads, like, who is she? You know, one minute she's this sweet, calm, beautiful woman. The next minute she's like Sybil, and her head is turning around. She's foaming at the mouth. Smoke is coming out of her ears. She's saying angry words to me. And then she, you know, shuts down. But you have to stay calm. You have to stay calm and allow the conversation to take place so that your relationship can go to the next level. Amen. Another way that you have to talk about it is practically, in a way, and give expectations. Communicate in such a way that is practical. In other words, don't just say stuff that makes no sense. Don't say things that make no sense. Don't ask your partner, your man, your husband to be somebody that he's not. That's going to line up with expectations, but it goes in with communications. Practical. In other words, can he put what you're saying into action? Can he do what you're asking him to do? a lot of the times we're asking a 5'3" man to be 6'4". Amen. And he can't do it. He can't do it. There's no way. We're asking a man that doesn't know how to understand a woman to understand us. And that goes back to the part one and part two where you just pick the wrong man, or you pick the man that you saw a potential in that man, but he wasn't even giving you in the beginning. He wasn't giving you, nor was he capable of giving you what you needed. So you just took what you could get. Amen. You settled for less in your relationship. And if that's the case, then you need to go again and begin to reevaluate your relationship with him. If he's your husband, then you two need to go to counseling. I don't say that you divorce a man that you marry for the wrong reasons. I say go to counseling, because God can even make that work. Amen. All things are possible with God. If you're married, then go to counseling. But if you haven't married him yet and you two are missing it on a lot of different levels, then you two need to sit down and begin to reassess why you're together, whether you should stay together, and where this relationship is going. Amen. So practically, in other words, practically, here's another one. Asking a man to marry you, and he's already told you that he'll never get married again. Or asking a man to stop trying to have babies with you when he told you he wants a large family. So in other words, those conversations are not even practical, because you're on two different books. You're not even on different pages, but you're in two different books. Again, if you're married, then you have to go to counseling and get to a point where you can come to a happy medium, where you're going to have to compromise if you're married. And you can't get practical in your communication and your expectations. But if you're not married, then you got to sit down and decide, you know what, are we supposed to even be together? Amen. So practically, the fourth and final way to communicate and be effective is honestly. You have to be honest with yourself, and you have to be honest with your husband or the man that you're in relationship with. You have to be honest. You have to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Amen. So make sure that you're not lying. Make sure that you're not covering up the truth. You know, make sure that you're not holding back important details in your communication. And this is important, especially during the dating phase. Like while you're dating, he's courting you, while you're thinking about getting married, you want to be especially honest in your communication. Amen. Because one misconception or indiscretion is going to lead to another misconception or indiscretion. One lie will lead to another lie, and you will find that your whole relationship, your whole marriage is based upon a whole bunch of lies that started with one lie. So you want to be honest. Make sure that you are honest. And first and foremost, be honest with yourself. Amen. So the first key in making it work, and making that relationship work, whether it be a marriage or a relationship that's leading to marriage, is communication. Amen. The second key is expectation. You must have healthy expectations. Amen. You must have healthy expectations of that relationship, and put it out there. Put it out there. You must review and evaluate your expectations, and then you have to reevaluate throughout the course of that relationship, of that marriage. You have to reevaluate your expectations. What are you expecting from him? What do you expect him to give you? What do you expect him to do for you? What do you expect to do together? Make sure that you have your expectations laid out. And there's some expectation areas that we want to talk about. Happiness. Happiness. What are your expectations as far as happiness is concerned? I have to tell you, the biggest mistake that we make as women is expecting that man to make us happy. Expecting the man to make us happy. Your husband, your boyfriend, that man that you're in relationship with, is not responsible for your happiness. Your joy comes from the Lord. It says the joy of the Lord is our strength. And we have to realize that God is our primary source for everything that we need in life. He's our primary source for happiness, for joy, which stems from the joy of the Lord. We have to be to a point where we are happy within ourselves, where we already are fulfilled in ourselves before we look for somebody else. Listen, if you're miserable, if you're not happy, how in the world do you expect somebody to bring happiness to you? How do you expect somebody to be happy with you? If you can't make yourself happy, if you can't be happy with yourself, how are you going to be happy with somebody else? You have to find happiness within yourself. And I always say it's rooted within your relationship with God. You have to find happiness within yourself. And I always say that happiness is rooted within your relationship with God. If you expect a man to make you happy, not only are you giving him the power to make you happy, but you're giving him the power to make you miserable. You're giving him the power to bring you sadness. You're giving him the power to make you unhappy. So I want to ask you, are you willing to give somebody else that much power? When you're arguing, when you're not getting along, what's going to happen? If he's not happy with you, you won't be happy. Because now all your validation comes from him. And that is not God's plan for your life. God does not want anybody to be God in your life but him. He doesn't want anybody to have that much power in your life but him. Amen. And the second one is expectations. Are you looking to him for completeness? This is another faulty expectation. This is another faulty expectation. When you look to a man to complete you, or a person to complete you. Amen. Again, you are already complete. You are a whole person. And if you're not, I want to ask you to slow your roll as far as the relationship and go and get to a healthy place with yourself. Amen. Where you can find happiness within yourself and you know that you are a complete person, where you know that you are wonderfully and fearfully made, where you don't need somebody to validate you, where you don't need somebody to tell you that you are valuable, that you are precious, where compliments do not make you complete. Amen. And without those compliments, you don't feel complete. Without that attention from a man, you don't feel complete. That is not healthy. Amen. So you want to make sure that you're not expecting him to complete you. Amen. That you are already a person who has something to bring to the table, that you know who you are, that you know your value. You are wonderfully and fearfully made. You are a treasure. You are his blessing. The Bible says that he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains a favor from the Lord. So when he hooks up with you, when he marries you, when he begins to pursue you as his wife, then he becomes that blessed man, and you are the one who brings the blessing, that extra blessing to his life. Amen. There's a special blessing that you bring to your husband's life. Amen. So don't look to him to complete you. 50 plus 50 is not a perfect relationship. A 50%, a part of a person connected with another half a person, that's just two incomplete people, two messed up people trying to find happiness within each other. And that is not God's ideal for marriage. He wants a total man to come together with a total woman so that they can become one in him. They can have a total, complete marriage. Amen. So get your issues, and in the book we talk about it, get your issues straightened out before you get married. And if you're married, get get the book and begin to work on your issues. And another book I have for women is The Cry of a Woman's Heart, dealing with the issues, the pain of the past, so that you can travel the road to victorious living. Amen. God has greater in store for you. You never have to settle for less. Amen. Completeness. Because look, if you needed a man to be complete, that means that if you're a single woman, you're not complete. And that's a lie. That's a lie from the devil. The devil is a liar. You're already complete. You can go on vacation now. You can enjoy life now before you get married. You can buy your house now before you get married. Amen. So there are a lot of things that you could do without a man. You could be a full, complete, wonderful, beautiful, phenomenal woman right now without being married. Now, that's not saying anything against being married, because I love being married. Amen. Marriage is a good thing. Amen. Hallelujah. Direction. Are you expecting direction from your husband? Now, that one is good. That's a good expectation, because the man is the leader of the household. The man is the head of the household. And as a woman, I love looking to my husband for direction. But there are also times when he looks to me for direction, when we both say, well, what do you think about this, honey? Which way do you think we should go? Or do you have any ideas? Do you have any input? You know, what are you dreaming about? You know, so there are times when my dreams and goals will take us in a direction, and his dreams and goals will take us in a in another direction. Amen. So together, though, we end up going in the same direction. Amen. So in other words, you don't have to give up your dreams and goals just because you're married or just because you're in a relationship. God will always direct your path. The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he's talking about a good man or a good woman. God will always show you the way that he's taking you, because he has divine purpose for your life. So, and that's, again, outside of your husband. Even when you're married, you're still two individuals who have become one, amen, who are in a marriage. But God is still going to use you, and he's still going to speak to you individually. He's still going to guide you individually, but he will not guide you in a way that it will be divisive, that it will break up your marriage. Amen. So if you're going one way and he's going another and you're arguing about direction, then the devil is in there. The devil is in there, because you're going to walk together. Always be together. That, again, you're not going to do exactly the same things in life. He models for FedEx. I'm a publisher and an author. He's a preacher. I'm a preacher. He's a pastor. I'm a pastor. We're parents together. So there are certain things that you do that will be the same, but then you may have different occupations. You may have different giftings. You may have different things that God will call you to do. But at the end of the day, you're still walking together, amen, because he's helping you realize your dreams, and you're helping him to realize his dreams. So direction is another expectation, and that's a good expectation. But when you're looking for him for all of the direction of your life, then that's a faulty expectation, because, again, you're giving all control over to him, and you're not no longer an individual. You're just living your life according to what your husband says. Amen. And I know that's not God's intent for marriage. Amen. The final thing is expectation of your husband. Do you expect perfection? Now, that's another faulty expectation, when we expect our man to be perfect. Oh, glory. I could run around my studio right now on that one, because guess what? There is no perfect husband. There is no perfect man. There is no perfect mate. There is no perfect woman. There is no perfect marriage. There is no perfect relationship. So if you're expecting perfection, you're in for a big disappointment. because there is no perfection. There will be no perfection. Expect disappointment to fall short, because he will. And guess what? So will you. Neither one of you are perfect. Neither one of you will always be right. So if you want to really start to make that relationship work, you want to get rid of all four of these faulty expectations and begin to focus on the positives in your relationship. Begin to get yourself together so that you're healthy. Begin to pursue some of your dreams and your goals. Begin to put the power for your life back where it belongs, and that's in the hands of God. Put the power for your life back where it belongs, and that's in the hands of God. Amen. So those are two of the keys to making your relationship or your marriage work: effective communication and healthy expectations. Amen. So we're going to finish out the other two keys, and then we'll be closing out the broadcast on today. Amen. I'm going to take a short break, and then I will be back, and we will finish out the rest of the list. Amen. So I want to play a song, just a little bit of the song. I'm not going to play the whole song, and then I'll be right back. We'll play, let's see, what do I have here on my switchboard? Let's play For Your Glory, Tasha Cobb. Amen.
Lift your worship.
gotta be where you are. Come on.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to be where you are. That's one of my favorite songs. I just had to take a short break to just catch my breath as I give you a break so we could go into these last two keys. You may have wanted to go and get some water or something to drink. So we're going to finish up now in this last 20 minutes, and then the switchboard is open, 646-652-4832. And also, if you want to come back and you just got here, you want to listen to the first two keys to making it work, you could go to blogtalkradio.com/power, blogtalkradio.com/power, or go to my website at nccmonline.org, and you can just go over to the radio page and you can hear this again. Let's go into the third key for making it work. Again, this is Pastor Rebecca Simmons, and I want to also invite you to my church. We're New Creation Christian Ministries, and we meet on Sundays. We meet on Sundays at 12:30. On Sundays at 12:30, and the Lord is moving powerfully. You can see our videos on YouTube, NCCMTV, Kingdom Church TV, or you can go to Facebook. You'll see our page over there, New Creation Christian Ministries. Or again, our website is also another place where you can see videos. If you need a word, the whole preached word is there, free of charge. You can listen to the word, watch the video, and get caught up, amen, in the spirit, as the spirit of the Lord is moving. So let's talk about this third key, this third key. I don't know. Did I give you the address to the church? It's 1482 Maple Avenue, Hillside, New Jersey. That's New Creation Christian Ministries, 1482 Maple Avenue, Hillside, New Jersey. And our service is at 12:30 on Sundays. Okay, so the third key. The first key is effective communication or communication. The second key is healthy expectations. The third key is get your priorities straight, getting your priorities straight. This is so important. This is so important that we have our priorities straight. Again, these keys are not in order of importance. They're just in the order that I wrote them down as I was preparing to come on the broadcast. If I were to put them in order of importance, I would probably put this one first. As a matter of fact, I know I would. I will put this one first, getting and keeping your priorities straight. So many people put their husband and their children first, and then they put themselves second, and then they put God somewhere there in there, and then they put work in there somewhere. And there's so many different priorities that are really mixed up and out of order. I want to encourage you to put God first. Put God first. It's my belief, and I'm a little fanatical, you know, when it comes to my faith, when it comes to God, it's my belief that God has to be first. He has to be first. You have to make sure that your relationship with God is tight, that your relationship with God is amen. Again, another interruption. For some reason, my phone keeps dropping today. I don't know why. Next week, I probably might have to call into the studio. But what I was saying for key number three, I don't know where I got cut off because I was so busy talking, and then I realized I had gotten cut off. But put God first. If I had to prioritize, the third key is priorities, priorities, keeping our priorities straight. If I had to prioritize this list, I would put this one at number one, keeping our priorities straight. You have to keep God first. God has to be first. Your relationship with God has to be tight. and it has to be properly aligned before you can be in an effective relationship with anyone else. Amen. Our horizontal relation, our vertical relationship with God has to be right. If we have our vertical relationship with God properly aligned, then everything on the horizontal plane will fall into place. Amen. So if I have my relationship with God right, if I know that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son to die for me so that I would have life and have it eternally and more abundantly, then I am in right relationship with God. My sins are forgiven. I have received the power of the Holy Spirit, and I am walking in eternal, not only eternal blessings, but blessings as far as the earthly realm is concerned. So I have blessings in the earth, and I have blessings waiting for me in heaven. Amen. That means that everything I do will prosper, including my relationships, including my marriage. So when you get that relationship with God, right, that means that God loves me. He loves me. I am validated through the love of God. And because of that, you know, then I love the Lord, my God, with all of my heart, my mind and my soul and my strength, and I love my neighbor as myself. The Bible says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. So it's God first, yourself second, and then your neighbor. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. So that's God first, and then your spouse. Amen. You're God first, yourself, and then your spouse, your children, and all of the other responsibilities that come after that, ministry, the job. You can put that stuff in whatever order you want to, but God first, keep your spiritual life healthy. Read the Bible, go to church, pray. My God, do the spiritual things, and then take care of your physical self. Eat right, exercise, get the proper amount of rest. Eliminate worry from your life. Eliminate stress from your life. Take care of yourself. So often we're taking care of everybody else and we're not taking care of ourselves. So you want to make sure that you are taking care of yourself. How are you going to be attractive? How are you going to be effective in a relationship if you're not taking care of yourself? Amen? So get your priorities straight. And then the final key is responsibilities, responsibilities. And those responsibilities are what? A, take care of yourself. And I talked about that already. Make sure that you're not feeding yourself with a whole bunch of junk. And when I say junk, I mean junk food, junk on the television, junk on social media. Be careful what you read. Be careful what you eat. Be careful what you listen to. Be careful what you watch on television, because what goes in is what comes out. Amen. The more garbage you put in, the more your life will turn out to be, you know, a whole bunch of trash. You know, the less effective you will be, the less successful you will be in life and in your relationship. So you want to make sure that you're taking care of yourself. Exercise. Give me 30 minutes a day. Get up and take a walk. Do some dancing. Do some Wii aerobics. Go to the gym. Give yourself 30 minutes a day of exercise. Again, eliminate some of the junk food calories that you take in. Give your body the proper nutrients. Amen. Take care of yourself spiritually. Make sure that you're hanging out with the right people. Make sure that your peers, you know what? What helps with having a good, healthy relationship? Making sure that your friends have good, healthy relationships. You are going to be a lot like the people that you hang out with. If I want to know something about you, I can just really take a look at your friends and get to know your friends. As I get to know your friends, I get to know you. Because what? Birds of a feather really do flock together. Amen. So you want to make sure that you have the right friends. Listen, you don't need friends who are hating on you. You don't need friends who are jealous of you. You don't need friends that you have to fight with all of the time. You don't need toxic friends. You want to make sure that you're around people who are going to celebrate you and not just tolerate you. Make sure that you are with people who will affirm you and appreciate you for who you are. So that's very important, that you have the right friends. Get your own joy. Again, that's a responsibility for you, to make sure that all of your joy is not wrapped around a person. That if he's not happy with you, you can't be happy. If he tells you you're no good, you believe him. If he tells you nobody else will want you, you believe him. If he becomes abusive, you tolerate it. No, when you have your own joy, you will not tolerate abuse in a relationship. You won't be a side chick. Oh, my God. Let me talk about that a little bit, because there's so many women out here who are saying, I'll be the chick on the side. I'll be the side chick. I'll be the other woman. I'll be the mistress. Or I'll be the wife, and it's okay for my husband to cheat. It's okay for my husband to play around and go out with other women. Now, I say the devil is a liar. You know, you are too precious to be anybody's second best. You are too precious to be second best for anybody. Put yourself on a higher plane. Put yourself on a higher level and see yourself as valuable. See yourself as the main one, the only one in your man's life. And see yourself as the only one that your husband is intimate with, that your husband is looking at in that way, in a romantic way. Amen. And don't settle for anything less. Put your foot down. Put your foot down and say, no, I'm not going to be a side chick. I'm not going to be a mistress, and I'm not going to be a woman whose husband is in adulterous affairs. Amen. I put my foot down. I always tell women, a man will treat you like you let him treat you. So if you let him get away with cheating on you, if you let him get away with mistreating you, misusing you, abusing you, or neglecting you, then he will do that. So you have to put your foot down and know your value and say, I'm not going to tolerate anything less than the best. I'm not going to tolerate anything less than the best. Now, the best does not mean extravagance. It just means that he is putting forth his best effort for you. And that word effort is key, because a lot of women are not making the man put forth any effort. You want him, don't be easy. You want him to put forth some effort. Don't just jump into his arms or jump into his bed and, you know, just be easy. Let him work for you. Let him chase you. Let him pursue you. Amen. Most men will tell you that they enjoy the chase. Amen. So you want to let him pursue you. And so you want to get your own joy. You want to live life without fear. Live your life without fear. Don't be afraid that you're not good enough. Don't be afraid that you're not pretty enough. Don't be afraid that he's going to reject you. Don't be afraid that he won't like you if he knew the real you. Be authentically you. Be yourself and dare to be. I've been cut off 3 times during this broadcast. I'm going to have to do a do-over. See, the devil doesn't like marriage, and he doesn't like us being in effective relationships. You know, this is the 3rd time that I've had to call back into my broadcast. My time is almost up. I have 4 more minutes. If you're listening on the stream and you want to talk to me, just call in 646-652-4832. Press 1 on your switchboard. I apologize. Blog Talk Radio has been cutting me off all night. And I know I'm talking good. I know I'm helping a lot of women out there, because we have been ineffective in our relationships. But God is saying he has better for us. You know, so if you want to talk to me, you can press 1 on your keyboard. But I was saying, I'm going to finish this up. And if you're listening to this joint over stream, you have to call in, because in 4 minutes you won't be able to hear me. 646-652-4832. And if you're there on the switchboard and you want to talk to me, just press 1. But I was saying, dare to live life without fear. Be authentically you. Listen, if he doesn't like who you really are, then he's not the one for you. He's not. If you're not good enough for him, then he's not good enough for you. I'm telling you, this is not mean, it's not harsh, but it's truth. It's to help you from being hurt in the future. Don't go after a man who wants to make you over and who doesn't like who you are. He won't like who you are in the future if he doesn't like who you are now. Be yourself. And always better yourself. Always strive to be better, but be okay with who you are today. You are okay today. You are okay today. You're beautiful today. You're magnificent today. You're brilliant today. You are worth more than diamonds today. So know who you are today, and don't allow anybody to make you feel less than. Don't allow anybody, just because they might want somebody thinner and you're 10 pounds overweight. Don't beat yourself up and make yourself feel like you're unacceptable. Listen, he's the one who's unacceptable because he doesn't love you for who you are. Because that 10 pounds might come off next month, but it might come back on in a year. It might come back on with 10 more after you have your first child. So if weight is a deterrent for him, if he can't handle you 10 pounds overweight, then he can't handle you. If you're dating, if you're married again, it's not grounds for divorce. You know, be your best you. You know, if he married the skinny you and you gained 20 pounds, you gained 30 pounds, then work on it. You know, meet him halfway, lose 10 pounds, lose 15 pounds, but still love yourself. Whatever you do, love you, amen, and live your life without fear. Don't be afraid to laugh. Don't be afraid to have fun. Don't be afraid to pursue your dreams. The next one is pursue purpose. Pursue purpose. Don't get so lost in a relationship that you no longer go after your purpose, no longer go after why God has created you. The thing that makes you attractive to that man is that you are your own person. The thing that made you attractive to your husband is because when he met you, you were pursuing purpose. Don't stop pursuing purpose just because you get married. Keep pursuing your purpose, amen. And the final one is pursue purpose and to God. The final one is to make sure that you are cleaving to the Lord. Make sure that you are continuing to keep your relationship with God strong. Amen. Keep your prayer life strong. Let me just tell you the final thing on making it work, prayer. If you are a woman of faith, don't neglect prayer. Pray for your husband. Pray for that man that you're in a relationship with. Pray for the man that you just met, to see if he's the one that God would want you to pursue a relationship with. Amen. So that's it. Those are keys to making it work. I pray that even though we were cut off a few times, that you were able to get the main message that I was giving out today. And even as I go off the air, if there's anyone that has a question or comment, you can just press 1 and I will take your call. Amen. Amen. Well, praise God. You can go back and listen, Power in the Word 1. That's my email, powerintheword1@yahoo.com. If you have comments for me, I'm on Facebook, Pastor Rebecca Simmons. Like my pages, Making Marriage and Relationship Work, and Woman to Woman with Pastor Rebecca. Also join Woman to Woman Empowerment Group on Facebook. That's the group that I started. Over 3,000 women there. You can be a part of that group. Go to my website, nccmonline.org. Come visit me at the church. We're at 1482 Maple Avenue, Hillside, New Jersey, and our service is at 1230 on Sunday. God bless you. go in peace and serve our Lord. I'll play Take Me to the King. Next week we'll be talking more on women issues. Join me next week at 7 o'clock from 7 to 8. And I pray next week we won't be cut off. I've been cut off. I'm going to have two phones next week or try to go another way. But God bless you. And go ahead and make that relationship work. Go ahead and make that marriage work. You can re-listen to this at blogtalkradio.com/power. Here's Take Me to the King.
Options are few. I'm trying to pray, but where are you? I'm all churched out, hurt and abused. I can't face what's left. I'm weak, no strength to fight, no tears to cry, even if I try, but still my soul.